Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series,
Go and Preach to Them.
He records in Corinthians, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that are perish foolishness. Somebody said to me real loud, foolishness. Mm-hmm. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Somebody said to me, the power of God. Those of us that are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's powerful. I wish I had a little bit more time. Man's words, man's foolishness caused him not to know God. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God is using a reversal of words here. It is man's foolishness, but because they called it foolishness, he said, I'm going to call it foolish preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, if there is such a thing, because the foolishness of God, somebody say with me, if there is such a thing. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness, if there is such a thing, of God is stronger than man. Wow, that's loaded. Whew. Hopefully I can unpack it today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, when you have the word, amen. 2 Corinthians, just flip over to the next book. That's where 2 Corinthians is. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Good God Almighty. Oh, God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Oh, God. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in the craftiness nor the handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them which are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light and knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But if we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of power may be of God, and not of us. That's loaded too. That's about 3 hours of preaching. But I'm trying to reach the millennials. Psalms 40. Verse number 7, it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, the law is within my heart. The law is within my heart. Somebody say, when we say the law is within my heart. I'm going to come back to this. You can't preach until it's in your heart. If you preach it without it being in your heart, it's just another philosophical dissertation. Come on, tell somebody it's got to be in your heart. I'm talking about if you're going to preach this glorious gospel, it's got to be in your heart. Some trying to preach from their head and they've made shipwreck. Got to be in your heart. And I'm going to get there. All right? Come on, ask your neighbor, is it in your heart this morning? Come on, say, it's in my heart. It's in my heart. Oh, God. Oh, God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is in my heart. It's in my heart. It's in my heart. Whatever's in your heart is going to come out. Can't fill your heart with the gospel and the gospel not come out. Only one person said, garbage in, garbage out. I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. I have preached righteously in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid the righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness, thy truth from the great congregation. And the word of the Lord is blessed. I see we on tap for about 4 hours of preaching. Amen. 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 But we'll see. Amen. For a few moments, amen, we're doing, amen, a series, Go Preach to Them. And this morning I want to talk from a theme, men's foolishness or God's power. Men's foolishness or God's power in preaching. Is preaching foolishness or is it where the power is unveiled? That's what I want to preach about. Do me a favor, if you're writing, taking notes, write this down for me. Introduce. I didn't say repeat, I said write it down. Follow instructions. But I'm glad you're with me. Introduce, invite, impact, and influence. Introduce, invite, impact, and influence. Those are the four I's. As we preach the gospel, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Introduce them to Jesus. Invite them to the walk of Christ. Impact, influence them. So as you follow Christ, they follow you. So say it with me one more time now. Introduce, invite, impact, and influence. That's what this whole series about going to preach to them is all about. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few minutes, God, give me articulation of speech, God. Let me declare your truths, God. As the psalmist says, I come in the volume of the book to do your will. Lord, anoint me for this task, Lord. Commission me for this assignment, Lord. Release out of me everything that you, oh God, poured into me. There's another generation sitting, oh God, in the seats, God. So now, Father, as we preach, Father, they would rise up and they would, oh God, receive Christ, Lord. Any barrier, God, that is in the way of, oh God, the sinner becoming a saint today, God, remove the barrier, Lord. Anything necessary, God, anything in the way of the backslider being reclaimed, God, move it out of the way this morning, Lord. And the message that I'll preach to the saints, God, let it get to them, Lord. That we will all be made the better. We will all be lifted up. We will all, oh God, be transformed into the image of God. And as you do it, Father, I'll be careful to give your name the glory. I'll give your name the praise. And God's people said, amen. And amen. Ministers, you may be released. Hold and stay with me a couple minutes. Amen. And then I'll release you in a second. Men's foolishness or God's power? Men's foolishness or God's power in preaching? Go preach to them. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there is a them waiting on your preaching. There is a them that is waiting on your preaching. The only way they're going to be saved, the only way they're going to be encouraged, the only way they're going to come back to the Lord, come back to church, is you open up your mouth and you say something. I was watching this comedian and the line that he did the joke on was, "You mean I can say something up in here?" Yeah, you can say something about Jesus. On your job, you can say something about Jesus. When you're talking to your relatives, I don't care how unsaved you might think they are. You mean I can say something? Yes, especially if it's about Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say something. We're in a season, I need you to say something about Jesus. I went to this conference, and the theme of the conference has sort of kind of overwhelmed me because it came right in time of when I was developing all of this about go preach to them. And the theme of the conference was all Jesus, everything. I believe God is calling us back to being living a life that's centered around Jesus. I'm talking about the church in general now, and the ecclesia, the called out ones, we've drifted off a little bit. And we got to get back to all Jesus, everything. I'm talking about when we're in the marketplace. All Jesus, everything. Up in the marketplace, tell somebody Jesus saves. I think we've allowed separation of church and state to put restrictions on us that church or state didn't put on us. And God is trying to nudge us to get up there and say something about Jesus. I keep telling you guys, rarely do people, I'm talking about when you really announce Jesus correctly, rarely do folks say, don't pray for me, if you're going to pray for me. All you got to do is say something. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I need you to say something. I need you to say something. If we are being commanded, if we are being instructed, if we are being inspired to preach to them, then the question that before I go too far that I really have to answer is, what is preaching? If I'm going to say go preach to them, I sort of kind of need to answer what is preaching. What is preaching? If I threw the question out and handed the microphone, we would get a plethora of answer of what you think preaching is. But I love what the Prophetic Dictionary by Paula Price defined. It is inspired, spontaneous speech that charged with conviction and emotion. It is inspired and spontaneous speech that is charged with conviction and emotion. We see that in Nehemiah 6 and 7 and Luke 4 and 18. Preaching is very distinguished from teaching because preaching sort of kind of taps into the emotion. And it is charged. It really is not too overly concerned about convicting the intellect. It's trying to reach the heart. So when we preach, there are going to be some emotional involvement in it. So don't let folks try to tell us, talk us down because we're too emotional. Preaching involves the emotions. It relies on the emotion. It relies on sentiment for entreaty. In the work of the gospel, place is made for both preaching and teaching. Preaching gathers. Teaching develops. We need both. Somebody said me real loud, we need both. Probably in the late 80s, early 90s, the body of Christ went through this thing that a lot of teachers roll up and it's amazing, and the church has done this amazingly. Whatever is being emphasized, we sort of kind of demote the need for the other ones. But I don't care how many teachers are raised up, we still need preaching. Dictionary.com defines preaching as to proclaim or to make known a sermon of the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings, to give earnest advice of religious or moral subjects, the like. In 2nd and 1st Corinthians, it is a Greek word, kerusio, K-E-R-U-S-O. It means to herald or to publish, to proclaim victory over the falling ones. The Greek word for preach, it means to herald, to publish, to proclaim victory over the fallen one. It is a present participle, meaning that it forms a continuous action. We don't preach and it stopped. We preach and we keep on preaching. And a little bit of preaching to make you want to preach, do a whole lot of preaching. Is anybody listening to me this morning? So when they get tired of you preaching, it is not time for you to stop. It's time for you to preach a little bit more because it is a continuous action. Somebody said to me real loud, I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on preaching. Whether they want to hear you or not is not a determinant of whether you preach or not. Tell somebody, I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on preaching. It is the ministry of the scriptures with special reference to the gospel. The full declaration of the full scope of Jesus. We preach to the sinner. We preach to the saint. We preach to the backslidden. Which category are you? We preach to the sinner. We preach to the saint. We preach to the backslidden. And while you're preaching, you might want to just ask folks, which one are you? In Matthew 3, it says, and in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew chapter number 10, it says, and go ye preach, saying, the kingdom is at hand. Normally, wherever you see a reference in the New Testament to preaching, you're going to see the kingdom of heaven at hand thereafter. We can't preach Jesus without preaching the kingdom. Jesus is a kingdom man. His domain. I don't know if you guys understand this. Whenever we're bold enough to open up our mouth, it means the kingdom is near. And I don't care who or what resists. When his kingdom comes, his kingdom is coming. The question becomes, do we believe it in congruence to their response? Somehow we've equated them rejecting that the kingdom has not come. But whenever we open up our mouth, and that's why I'm trying to nudge you and urge you and really push you in this season to open up your mouth, because Christ wants his kingdom to come, but his kingdom starts by preaching the gospel. You need to go to work and tell somebody God's kingdom is near. You need to call two or three people on the phone and you need to let them know that God's kingdom is coming your way. He said, and they went and they preached, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. I told you last week, oftentimes when you start preaching, you're going to have to cast out the devil. Freely you receive, freely give. Whenever we're preaching Jesus, all Jesus, everything. Whenever we're preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Whenever we're preaching, we are supposed to heal the sick, and these signs follow. Can y'all listen to me real clearly? If you preach, the sick will recover. And sometimes you got to preach to your own sickness. Tell your neighbor, open up your mouth and preach. Thank God. He says, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he says, heal the sick. If you open up your mouth and preach, the lame may walk. So preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. The preaching of the cross has the ability to cause dead things to rise again. It is the all only thing in the universe that has resurrection power attached to it. That's why the enemy wants us to sit down, and that's why the enemy wants us to shut up, and that's why the enemy comes out like a flood of gets up, because he knows if I open up my mouth, something dead gonna get up. Every now and then you gotta preach to some dead stuff. Do me a favor, touch somebody. Amen. Tell them, say, every now and then you got to preach to some dead stuff. I believe we had a prophet in the valley of the dry bones. So after the Lord had spoken to them in Mark, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and they preached everywhere. That's powerful for me. After Jesus was caught up into heaven in Mark chapter 16, it says, then they went forth and they preached everywhere. The mandate is on now. And I don't know if I'll get finished this, but now we got to go preach everywhere. I'm talking about if we hanging out with the little boys club over at the 4-H club. No, they still got 4-H. I don't know if they, some of y'all ain't old enough to know even what 4-H is. And I ain't going to take my time to explain it to you, but if you in the boys and the YMCA, whatever it's called today, you need to preach over there. If you hanging out with the girls, you need to preach over there. If you playing in the gym, boys basketball with them, you need to preach over there. And the Bible says in St. Mark that they went everywhere and they preached Jesus. God is looking for a generation that'll go everywhere and preach Jesus. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I believe some of us are sort of kind of ashamed of the gospel. And God's looking for a generation that they're going to open up their mouth wherever they are, and they're going to declare Jesus born of a virgin. Jesus died at the hand of sinners, and Jesus rose again. He's going to preach Jesus everywhere. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. When was the last place you preached Jesus? If you got to think too long, go ahead, repent, tell God you're sorry, apologize, and then preach somewhere this afternoon. We got to now get this mantle, this commission on us that I'm on assignment now. Everywhere I go, I'm going to give them a little dab of Jesus before I leave this place. Make it so when they see you coming, they know what's coming with you. And they went everywhere and they preached. This is Mark chapter number 16. And they went everywhere and they preached Jesus. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I told you, if you preach, God will show up. You guys that are in the school system, I'm telling y'all what's wrong with the school system. Ain't enough folks preaching Jesus. Too many folks preaching raises. How do I get another pay increase? Them children need to hear about Jesus. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. I'm gonna preach it anyhow. You all wanna know what's wrong with our secular jobs? Ain't nobody up there preaching Jesus. And you need to step back tomorrow morning and say, y'all, I'm on a new commission. If I get a raise or not, I'm gonna preach about Jesus on this secular job. And they went everywhere and they preached Jesus. And the Lord working with them. I challenge you over the next 24 hours, over the next 48 hours, wherever you go, lift up the name of Jesus. I challenge you that wherever you go, whether you're in the hospital, whether you're, amen, walking the streets of Taylor and over in the Hills Way or Greater Lock Raven Village, wherever you are, I know the Ravens and the Steelers play at 1 o'clock, but what is that going to do for our soul? Brother LaShawn, I was a little bit disturbed. I was out this morning really early, and I saw people with Pittsburgh Steelers uniform on going towards the stadium. 8 o'clock. The game doesn't start till 1 o'clock. And they're that committed. I said, Lord, what if the Saints went preaching at 8 o'clock? And had to be at church at 11. We've allowed folks to be more committed to things that have no profitability. It's about 52 people and probably 35, 40, whatever people in management that's getting profit from that. The rest of us are giving to witness that. What if we was out that early in the morning witness? Come church day, y'all. Okay, I don't want to mess with y'all. I was doing real well till I got there, huh? And they went everywhere preaching. They're only addicted because, and I'll get to this, they're only addicted to that kind of stuff because their eyes are blinded. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded them. But I believe with all of my heart, God's going to raise up a whole nother generation that do what Acts said, going to addict themselves to the ministry of Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the four-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.